Harper Audio presents The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, read by Bill McGowan. The purpose of this tape is to supply, in a form suitable for laymen, guidance in the adoption and execution of an investment policy. Comparatively little will be said here about the technique of analyzing securities. Attention will be paid chiefly to investment principles and investors' attitudes. To invest intelligently in securities, one should be forearmed with an adequate knowledge of how the various types of bonds and stocks have actually behaved under varying conditions, some of which, at least, one is likely to meet again in one's own experience. No statement is more true or better applicable to Wall Street than the famous warning of Santayana: those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Our tape is directed to investors, as distinguished from speculators, and our first task will be to clarify and emphasize this now all but forgotten distinction. We may say at the outset that this is not a How to Make a Million tape. There are no sure and easy paths to riches in Wall Street or anywhere else. It may be well to point up what we have just said by a bit of financial history, especially since there is more than one moral to be drawn from it. In the climactic year 1929, John J. Raskob, a most important figure nationally as well as on Wall Street, extolled the blessings of capitalism in an article in the Ladies' Home Journal entitled "Everybody Ought to Be Rich." His thesis was that savings of only $15 per month invested in good common stocks with dividends reinvested would produce an estate of $80,000 in 20 years against total contributions of only $3,600. If the General Motors tycoon was right, this was indeed a simple road to riches. How nearly right was he? Our rough calculation, based on assumed investment in the 30 stocks making up the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or the DJIA, indicates that if Raskob's prescription had been followed during 1929 through 1948, the investor's holdings at the beginning of 1949 would have been worth about $8,500. This is a far cry from the great man's promise of $80,000, and it shows how little reliance can be placed on such optimistic forecasts and assurances. But, as an aside, we should remark that the return actually realized by the 20-year operation would have been better than 8% compounded annually, and this despite the fact that the investor would have begun his purchases with the DJIA at 300 and ended with a valuation based on the 1948 closing level of 177. This record may be regarded as a persuasive argument for the principle of regular monthly purchases of strong common stocks through thick and thin, a program known as dollar-cost averaging. Since our tape is not addressed to speculators, it is not meant for those who trade in the market. Most of these people are guided by charts or other largely mechanical means of determining the right moments to buy and sell. The one principle that applies to nearly all these so-called technical approaches is that one should buy because a stock or the market has gone up, and one should sell because it has declined. This is the exact opposite of sound business sense everywhere else, and it is most unlikely that it can lead to lasting success in Wall Street. In our own stock market experience and observation, extending over 50 years, we have not known a single person who has consistently or lastingly made money by thus following the market. We do not hesitate to declare that this approach is as fallacious as it is popular. Since its first publication in 1949, revisions of The Intelligent Investor have appeared at intervals of approximately 5 years. In updating the current version, we shall have to deal with quite a number of new developments since the 1965 edition was written. The underlying principles of sound investment should not alter from decade to decade, but the application of these principles must be adapted to significant changes in the financial mechanisms and climate. We have not allowed these fluctuations to affect our general attitude towards sound investment policy, which remains substantially unchanged since 1949. The extent of the market shrinkage in 1969 and 1970 should have served.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?